Welcome to Worker Movement, a podcast dedicated to the working class, a podcast dedicated to raising class consciousness. This podcast is for you, for us, for the worker.
So there's a chip shortage, and this is manifesting in a couple ways. But the biggest issue in all this, obviously, is that Tesla doesn't get enough silicone to do cool things to change the world.
The attempt to essentially pivot their entire supply chain from being silicon, pure silicon-based to silicon dioxide-based is just their attempt to circumvent the shortage issues. But all they're doing, really, is expanding the footprint of their electronics without actually really doing anything. I mean, I don't really know why they're doing it. They still need GPUs. They still have six chips, six to eight cameras. They still need GPUs. They can use the IMX series from Sony, which has built-in DSP and object detection on the chip itself, fine, but they still get cut from 200 nanometer wafers.
And there are very few 200 nanometer wafers being manufactured today, which is why there's a chip shortage, which is why Tesla's like, what if instead of silicone, we could use something else? But that something else has very little benefit to anything hard. Yeah, you can open a door with it or charge a battery, but who cares?
You can do the same thing if you just went with like basic ladder logic, like diodes. That's essentially what they're doing with silicon dioxide, because it's a much larger molecule and the potentials are so much smaller, and the amount of like defects in the crystalline structures are not designed for, I don't know, consistent chip making. They're basically just going to make these giant, like, redundant chips.
They're large chips that do very little. You're not massively polluting a single chip like you would with a CPU with a billion transistors. That's not silicon dioxide.
No, no. And there's very few people in the world that can probably make it, because it's a technology no one gives a shit about. Like, the supply chain from growing a silicon crystal all the way through epitaxy and, like, milling it and then, like, actually, like, or polishing it, I shouldn't say milling, polishing it, and then doing the exposures and then doing it all over again, that entire supply chain is vertically integrated everywhere. You can go out and buy, like, an Epsilon white light interferometer. You can go out and buy the buffing pads everywhere. You can go out and buy the spinning epitaxy. You can get all that stuff. Silicon dioxide, not 100% sure. This reminds me, or feels like, something that Tesla does all the time, which is put out nonsensical PR blitzes in hopes that people still invest in their shitty company.
I, for one, don't want a car unless it has silicone dioxide in it.
Well, I, for one, as an investor, like the way that they're thinking outside of the box and being able to bring real shareholder value to the car industry by being disruptive and innovative.
Like, instead of being able to not sell a car because I don't have GPUs and CPUs, now I cannot sell a car that doesn't have CPUs and GPUs, but you can unlock your doors now. Pretty cool, huh?
That's so dope that people around me are like, wow, isn't that cool? It's like, yeah, that's pretty dope, dude. So what does this all mean in the grand scheme of things? I think there's a couple big issues here. Tesla is snake oil, and only buffoons buy the snake oil.
Propaganda works.
Propaganda works in both a corporate and a militaristic like cycle. Now, there are people who are adopters for the sake of new technology, which I actually understand. It's kind of cool, right? You can take your hands off the wheel and whatever. But like, that pretty much dies out fairly quickly when there isn't everybody else getting that vehicle. Like, the promise of being able to have everybody interconnected is pretty sweet sounding until you realize it can't ever be done, because it's neoliberalism. Only the rich can be early adopters, and then only the upper middle class can be the second wave of adopters. The poor will never have these, the lower middle class will never have these, the middle class will probably never have these. So it really means, like, is Tesla at peak customer?
Probably.
I'm thinking the same thing.
Poor people will be stuck buying basically used cars that already have computer chips. So this whole chip shortage in the auto industry is just going to drive up the price of used cars. Poor people aren't going to be buying new cars that have chips because they're too expensive. And they're certainly not going to be buying a Tesla that's too expensive to begin with before you even factor in the chip shortage.
Yeah, one of the things that we saw on the inflation or the CPI is that automobiles are up 23%, which is about right, but it's actually more on the used car market. Take, for instance, like most people's shitty trucks. Like, people are demanding like $10,000 for them, which is wild, dude.
I've always wanted a Toyota Hilux, but they're very difficult to import.
Yeah, are they the ones that can hold the 50 calipers on top of the cars?
Well, they're the small, mid-size pickup truck that I believe gets co-opted for use by local militias in the third world.
Got it.
I think you can mount a 50 cal to pretty much any pickup truck. Thinking out loud here. I think you drill four holes and you get like a 17 cent carriage bolt.
And you go right through it, you're saying?
You go through the 6-gauge, 8-gauge pickup bed. Yeah. If you want to get really fancy, you could weld a brace maybe on the bottom or the top.
I'm thinking the brace is required because I don't know how much that shitty sheet metal can go now that Ford has aluminum beds.
You can't do this in an F-150 anymore because
nope.
The fucking thing will basically torque out and you'll have nothing left. It's just a fascinating ramification of this is that these shitty pickup trucks end up getting repurposed in third world like civil wars for shit.
Yeah.
And having both the growth towards electric vehicles is going to be totally non-viable and the growth towards aluminum vehicles is going to be totally non-viable.
Yeah, you really won't be able to see any new vehicles like that new Lordstown. Those Lordstown pickups aren't going to be able to handle any type of civil war, you know? So, no, think about that, guys.
Like, the global south is cut off from the advances of basically the western world because it has no utility to them.
No. If you're in the middle of farm country, even in the U.S., Colorado, or Montana, okay? Anywhere, Oklahoma, shithole Texas. Texas is all a shithole.
We don't have to be more specific.
No, the entire state. Like, the electric truck makes no fucking sense at all. Unless you are a yuppie scumbag. They're like, oh my god, I can move my friends and save the environment.
I love the people that spend money on trucks, and then you look in the back of the truck, and they don't have a bed cover, or like the sprayed-on plastic bed liner. And you look at their non-lined pickup truck bed, and there is not a single scratch. And you're just sitting there going, why the fuck do you have a truck? Like, you literally don't do anything with it. Just buy a shitty fucking Accord.
Yeah, or if you really need a truck,
rent one.
Yes. They're like $20 an hour. Like, if your friend needs you to help them move, they can afford $80.
For a 4-hour rental.
If you're wanting to use a truck. I mean, think about it. It's a truck. It's an 8-foot bed. What the fuck can you fit back there? Your IKEA furniture. Your table you took apart. Well, what else?
Or if you're not using it and you're not buying shit from your Home Depot, your Lowe's, your 2x4s, your plywood, your gypsum board, your whatever miscellaneous like home improvement crap.
Are you just dunking on our listeners for not knowing construction stuff?
No. Why? Because I said gypsum board?
Yeah.
Well, I believe drywall is a brand name, right? As is sheetrock.
Is it sheetrock? Now, I only use sheetrock.
Oh, you support USG? You're one of those people?
Yeah. Are they a Coke company?
I mean, they're a scumbag fucking company anyway, Coke or not, but...
I think all US manufacturers are pretty much scumbags.
Including Tesla?
Yes.
To wrap it back around.
Tesla is primarily one of the worst companies in the world, and I'll rattle off a couple. One, they manufacture like an asshole. Go look at, like... Just go look at an assembly video of a Tesla, like control arms. Go look up how to remove a control arm on a Tesla. It goes through into the actual driver and passenger front, like, sitting area, which is, like, wild because now it's, like, in the cabin. Like, it's engineered, like, as a straight-up asshole. Two, they sell energy credits because the U.S. is a shithole neoliberal country, and they let them get away with it. They should just purely ban the, like, carbon market. Because it makes no fucking sense.
So they sell energy credits that are purchased by the other automakers. And that's largely why Tesla is profitable on paper. Because they're selling carbon offsets.
And they've been willing to convince governments not to regulate them. So there are two regulations that they got pissed off about and they're trying to change everywhere. One, because of abuses and vertical integration, you used to have to... You know, most states require you to have a third party sell their vehicles. That's why you have dealerships. To prevent vertical integration and abuse. The second one is that nobody is regulating their software. Because I can tell you this, if it's a reinforced learned model or a controls model, you can have it obey the speed limit by law. You can say, if your vehicle's under control, it must obey the speed limit. You can make every automaker basically disable cruise control over the speed limit because they're GPS enabled. There isn't a vehicle that's manufactured in 2015 that doesn't have GPS in it.
That's why I want a Toyota Helix.
So for the worker, what are some of the things that an actual automaker would want to create for them, for features? Because right now we have features that are created for basically bourgeois people who are in commutes every day.
So the number one thing I want in a car is I want to be able to fix it with some general ease. I don't know what the big fixes would be, but replacing a battery, the battery should be easily accessible. I can take it off. I can get a new one. I shouldn't have to take out the fucking engine to replace the battery.
Good. So it's basically serviceability.
Serviceability. And not necessarily I want to be able to do everything trivially, but having some, I'm going to say, reasonably doable tasks that are common. Change your oil, maybe change the spark plugs, change your brakes, change the battery. Maybe those four things. And it'd be really easy for the end user to do.
I like it. There's things that people maybe don't take for granted that they are able to do in their older vehicles that they can't do now. Like changing the oil and automatic transmission fluid. Now you have to have reverse flushes and some weird things like that. But now with LED lights coming on, your entire headlamp assembly is normally one unit and they're like $400 or $500. And that's actually the part that pisses me off and why there's actually a chip shortage is that every sensor, because of electrification of vehicles, every sensor is now wireless and every sensor needs a battery and every sensor needs a qualified technician in order to resync those sensors to like the computer, which means that it's not serviceable. So when the chime dies on your like trunk of your car, chances are they're going to have to tear apart your trunk of your car and replace it. What else you got?
I like the idea of an electric vehicle and being able to plug it in and charge it and eliminating the infrastructure required by gas stations and the general basically loss of resources due to having tankers drive everywhere, pipelines, shit like that. Electric vehicles largely don't eliminate that because you still need electricity generation, which is still done from petroleum-based stuff. But having a charging station in everybody's house or apartment or workplace seems to be a great efficiency that would actually reduce the amount of people on the road because you don't have to waste 10 minutes getting gas once a week. And that might not seem like a lot, but over time it adds up and does contribute to congestion.
Gas stations on every corner are wasted resources, like you said. The duplication of effort everywhere. You go in, they all have fountain pops, they all sell, you know, cigarettes, they all sell candy bars or whatever they are, and they all have 8 pumps. And every one of those pumps, when you're done pumping it, you basically drain like a half ounce of gasoline on the ground as you hang your pump, like your pump back up, right? So just from an environmental standpoint, you're not leaking petroleum products everywhere. But the real issue then is, who pays then for the infrastructure to have a charging unit and station everywhere? Because these are we're talking about like 200 amp service everywhere, right? Just for the car, or 100 amp service. 240, 50 to 100 amp, you know, big infrastructure projects moving through here. So this is why, again, I think the issue I have with Tesla is that in electric vehicles is that it gets shifted again. The burden gets shifted to the end user, which is, I guess, is good now, but then it makes it like not something that everybody can get into because they can't afford the charging station. So we're coming up on 5 years of electric vehicles, right, of Tesla? Can you buy a renewed or used Tesla and have it still give you life? I don't even know. I think that goes back to the usability of it all. So if they really wanted to work on something for the worker, it's what can I do with my daily commute that makes it easier for me? What can they do to make it so that I don't have to waste money every single time I turn around one of these vehicles? And third part of it is, do I really even have to go to work anymore?
If you don't have to go to work, you don't necessarily need a vehicle, which then really lends itself more towards having better public transportation. And there's all sorts of false incentives around not having public transportation. And if we're going to go the route of installing 200 amp service in every house or apartment, wouldn't we be better spending that money in the direction of having better public transportation? Because that shit's going to be expensive.
It's like $3,000 or $4,000 or more just to have the service panel put in. It's not just, you know, they run a new line down because they have to get another leg and they have to drop your 240 in, which takes 2 legs from the 3 legs of the pole. Then you have to put a service panel in. You can take the service panel and run that to wherever your charging station is. Then you have to buy the actual special magical plug that lets you have that service. And then you have to do stuff like monitor peak times. Maybe you get a discount if it's not peak time.
Like you do with your air conditioning.
Yeah, that's the other issue. Is everybody's charging at nighttime. Will there ever be a no peak electric time?
So there's a coordination thing that would have to occur if everybody were to have an electric vehicle, because when do you charge? Do you charge at work? Do you charge at night? So let's say you're in a northern state with 8 hours of sunlight or 12 hours of sunlight and you have solar power, and that's all fine during the day, but then at night you have less power. So what are you going to do? Versus in Arizona, where you have way more sun because you're closer to the equator and you might have physically longer days. So you actually have more power in Arizona. So how do you coordinate that, even living in different geographic locations?
Yeah, and then we all know that infrastructure from the substations on out takes a lot more power. You know, the children that live underneath the power lines are not going to be the rich kids and buy the power station. So it's going to be, again, one-sided to the wealthy, right, having the benefits and not the poor. Electrical plants are not put into rich areas. They're put into either very rural or very poor areas. We're in the intersection between green groups who, in general, are saying things like, it's better for the environment to have electric cars, but forgetting about the fact that the majority of the pollution comes from basically impoverished people who drive shitty vehicles all the time because they're not up to standard. So what they do is they push for these tax credits that help the wealthy, but they don't actually do anything to help the poor. For us to really impact the worker and the environment at the same time, it's going to require central planning. At the current moment, we don't have that. So at the end of the day, Tesla can just go fuck off and not get chips. It'd be better for everybody.
For future episodes and to learn more about the worker movement, join us at workermovement.com.